Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
With Dusty Hera and NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
If I can change, and you can change, everybody can change.
On 1080, The Fan.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday to you, the 20th of November. Did you smoke a cigarette after that game last night? My goodness, what a game on Monday Night Football.
Oh, we could discuss that game all day.
3 hours.
Three hours of intimate breakdown.
Ooh.
Intimate.
Ooh.
There are top words that you use in life.
Bow,
intimate.
Wow.
Intimate. That was a elite football game.
Mm. Yes, it was. That was so much fun to watch. And we'll have a lot on that one.
Sure.
It had local guys making big impacts in it. A lot of offense, but the defenses made the pivotal plays. So much fun. So much fun to have a Monday night game like that.
Is there anything else going on this week at all?
No.
We got much going on?
Blazers continue their road.
First place.
Yeah.
First place.
Yeah.
You never found that stat. Did we ever find the official stat?
Yeah, there was one of our listeners.
Was it 2011?
I forgot.
Is it when it was? 2011, the last time the Blazers were in first place in the Western Conference?
16 games.
Yeah, something like that.
16 games in, they were in first place.
Give me the starting lineup of that team.
2011 or Blazers? The 2011 Blazers would have been, Dame.
No.
Let me check and see here.
2011? I thought he was drafted in 12.
No, it wasn't. That would have been LaMarcus Aldridge.
Nicholas Batum.
Joel Prisbilla. Gerald Wallace. Batum. And who was playing point guard that year? No, it was
Brandon Roy.
Yeah, no, it was not.
He was not?
How Raymond
was that team
Felton.
In first? Wow.
Raymond Felton.
How was that team in first place?
That sucks. Hmm. Yeah. That team ended up not very great. That would have been Caleb Canales, and Nate McMillan got fired that year, and Caleb Canales finished
True.
The year.
Gotcha.
And they finished 28-38.
Well, that's basketball today,
in a
folks.
Lockout shortened season. So, yeah, there you go.
I'll tell you what, the Blazers are doing something right because everyone else is melting down, including the Wizards. And supposedly John Wall F-bombed his coach.
Yeah, that is one of my favorite stories of the young NBA season is the meltdown of the Wizards. Kind of goes to show you that, you know, everybody sits there and goes, oh, gosh, okay, Blazers getting along. How far does that get them? Well, it gets them a whole lot further than a lot of other NBA teams who have two really good guards that can score, have their, in our guard heavy and guard centric. Because the Wizards are the Blazers of the East. You have John Wall, Bradley Beal, and a bunch of role players,
right?
Yeah,
it used to be Toronto. We used to feel like it was the Toronto team.
Yeah, but that was always kind of a little... Yeah,
it was. First-round dropout.
Yeah, first-round dropout, but they would always, way overachieve, but they were in the Eastern Conference, so it felt like they were a little bit better than they were.
Yeah.
Because they'd be, the one or the two seed. The Wizards were definitely, that four or five seed in the East, and you're going, okay, how far can they go? That was a lot like the Blazers, and here we go. They're falling apart because guess what? Their stars hate each other, and they don't like... their coach.
Well, that's okay. We won't watch basketball till around January.
Yeah,
anyway,
that's true.
We're going to concentrate on giving you some football updates.
Okay, well, the Mariners are also selling everybody off.
Yeah, that's to be expected.
Oh, but you're talking about Civil War in the Apple Cup
that
this
too.
Week.
What are you talking about? James Pack? I heard that update by Mr. Buckley. James Paxton gone. But the Civil War is this weekend. Oh, we have rivalries, coaches embracing things, people getting up bitter. We started, last night, along with Buda Baker...
You and Buddha.
Went after Ryan Leaf, and Ryan Leaf responded with his Twitter beef back and forth. So we've established our Apple Cup. heated rivalry already.
Okay,
with a little bit of banter back and forth,
a healthy rapport, if you will.
What did you say to Ryan Leaf? Because I saw I
didn't
Buda
say
Baker's,
anything.
But
I
that just, was I hilarious. Just, what Buda did.
I'm just jumping into the Buda group because suddenly I got tagged, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, I guess I'm in that. I guess I'm in that group now.
Buda Baker, if you don't know, the safety, is he's with the Cardinals now, right?
He's with the Cardinals.
He said, WSU week reminds me of when the little sibling tries to challenge you. They'll fight maybe the first few minutes, but once you lay on them for a couple minutes, they'll quit. Golly.
And then Ryan Leaf responds back with a picture from the 1997 Apple Cup, which, by the way, was 41-35. Where Brock Ewer threw 5 interceptions, and I played in that game. Yes, just so I know the details.
And you wore purple helmets.
We did wear purple helmets. One of the person's responses was hilarious, but Ryan Leaf responds exactly similar to putting a dog down because you can't see them suffer anymore. Hashtag Go Cougs.
Yes. Wow,
he went to the death. He went right to animal cruelty. He went into animal cruelty.
Well,
and someone immediately tweeted said, "Was that the first Apple Cup?" Not in black and white.
Gosh,
I was like, wow, was I'm not that old.
And then I do now. I'm on this thread here. I'm looking at the replies there that Ryan Leaf's reply, and then I'm also looking at one other one has a picture of I don't know who that is. It's one of the Washington players laying on the ground face down, and the Cougs celebrating around him after a win in Pullman. See, this is what it's all about, folks, and this is what it should be about, is talking smack. So, hey, if you're...
That was the Sarkisian kick.
The Sarkisian kick?
Yes, that game was Sarkisian's last year.
Oh.
That was the field goal that was made.
Oh, okay. Well, and was that the one where Austin Seferian Jenkins got punched?
Yes, got punched.
Yeah, I remember that one by a stupid fan.
That was on video. Yeah, put your helmet on. Number one rule when you're at the opposing team's facility, helmet on, strap it up, get out.
Yeah, you get out of there as fast as you possibly can.
That was the last time the Cougs have beaten the Dogs.
How about this? If you want to do any smack talking, you can tweet us the photos, the smack talk for Civil War and Apple Cup at Dusty_Hara, at Cam Cleland as well.
Please bring it.
I'll just go ahead and start retweeting them. We'll just start, bloop, there we go. Get it going. And we'll start that open line of communication on Twitter so we can get some internet fights going. Because you know the best ones are internet fights.
I have a good one.
Okay.
I'm saving it, and I will unveil it.
Okay.
I will unveil my picture.
Later. You have a picture.
I don't have a picture. I have a picture of it that a fan sent me. A fellow Husky sent me. And I'm going to send out for everybody to see.
All right. Well, there you go. Is it that? Is it? You showed it to me last week, didn't you?
I did.
Okay, I'm not
going to ruin it.
I didn't want to ruin it.
You almost did.
I know I did.
You almost did.
I know, but I didn't.
It's a fully committed fan.
Okay.
It takes a special kind of. You had to pay to be this guy. Literally, you have to pay to be this fan.
That's a whole deal, man.
You have to pay, and then you have to pay more because it's even more personalized.
Mm. All right.
That's a tease, is what that is.
Also, college football rankings will be released this evening. Do the Cougs make a big jump up? We'll discuss that and what may happen this week. We thought there were big lines and betting lines last weekend with the top-ranked teams.
Yeah.
You should see some of the point spreads this weekend because rivalry week is not quite that for a lot of the teams in the top 5, 6, and 7 of the college football playoff rankings. Was last night's game more enjoyable since we had a ton of offense? Is the new era of the NFL and the new era of football more enjoyable? That's our textual relations today at 55305. Also, who you hitching your wagon to? Mahomes or Goff? We'll discuss that at some point in the show as well. But where we start?
I remember it was just like yesterday.
Hey, this is something that the only thing that was missing from last night's game, 1982, the play between Cal and Stanford. As time expired, a poorly executed squib kick by Stanford leads to 5 laterals and Kevin Moen weaving through the Stanford band into the end zone, 25-20. Cal beats Stanford. That was the only thing missing last night was a band on the field. We had a little bit of everything except for that.
True.
We don't get finishes like that.
Remember yesterday we were talking about how instant replay would change so much in sports? Yeah, a lot of people think that, one, Cal was down, and two, that one of the laterals went forward.
I remember watching like a...
I'm trying to think about which one it was, but...
It was like early on in the play, they were still in their own territory, and people thought he was down, and it kind of pitched it out to the side. They were still kind of over on the left side of the field then. But then I think it was one of the last laterals they think may have been forward.
I believe it was the Pac-12 network may have done like even like a half hour where they broke down everything in slow motion.
Oh, they myth-busted
on that
it,
one.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, it was very early on in the Pac-12 network, but I remember watching something and being like, whoa. They got like the Zapruder film. They interviewed all the players involved. The Stanford guys were like, they definitely threw a forward lateral. He was definitely down. And all the Cal players
denied. Thank God there was not.
Denied.
There was not replay then.
Mm-hmm. Well,
we wouldn't even have football as we know it if it wasn't for that.
Not like it really would have mattered, though, because remember there was that eight lateral play that ended Miami and Duke? They reviewed that play and. It was pretty clear that the guy had, there was like two forward laterals that weren't called, and it still didn't matter. So, because it has to be conclusive video evidence, and, you know, if it's not that conclusive, hey.
Even with or without, they still get it wrong.
That's true.
# Pac-12 referees.
Which was also, you know, if there is one gripe about last night, the all-star officiating crew may be it. But the Rams and the Chiefs is where we start. Offense, offense, offense. What a game last night in Monday Night Football. The record books rewritten. It is 6:13 on the Fan. Fireworks last night in the LA Coliseum. Rams, Chiefs rewriting the record book 54-51. Pound the over. Was it 63 was the over in that game? Gosh, they nearly passed that at halftime. As they scored in Monday Night Football record 105 combined total points. Offense, 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 my man. Wasn't that game fun to watch?
It was a lot of fun. I know that Vegas came out today and said it was one of their most catastrophic seven-figure losses that they are going to take on the shorts. And I don't feel sorry for you and your bright lights. You got to pay out eventually. And that game last night was everything advertised. It did everything for me. I was glued. I felt every moment of that game was what football is. And so that was offense. And don't forget, as good as you think it was an offense, man, there was some great defensive plays in that game.
Yeah, it was by no means was that a defensive battle when you have 105 points scored. But think of the pivotal plays in the game-changing plays, the turnovers that were forced in that game. You know, there's, two fumbles forced, three interceptions by the Rams defense. They scored two defensive touchdowns. The Chiefs end up getting to Jared Goff five times and forcing fumbles in that game, or getting two fumbles forced as well. I mean, the defense has made some great plays, pass rushes.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I said this earlier about the Cougs during last couple weeks. I mean, I always believe things happen for a reason. Call me crazy. This is kind of my belief pattern. Is last night, I know it was one of those crazy games, and after what's happened in LA, and after what's happened from the tragedy, from the fires, from the campfire, and the shootings, and everything like that, and the people, and the stadium was packed, and it was one of those games you could feel the emotion. Even I've never seen a game at the Coliseum mean so much. For just the energy that place had. I mean, I've played there. That place is just anemic. It was not. It was full of something. It was full of a community and people. And then afterwards, we get to see Jared Goff, and you saw Aaron Donald with all the families and the emotions of it. It was, I'm not saying it was scripted, but you start to feel like there was a reason why the Rams ended up winning. It was an unbelievable game, and hats off to what the Kansas City Chiefs have, because if that is a game that I can get on repeat, please sign me up.
You know, the one thing that we talked about yesterday as it pertains to college football and getting fans more engaged and sticking around and getting the passionate fans there, I think you saw on display last night, Monday Night Football, 77,000 tickets distributed. We saw that the Rams are going to be giving away tickets to families affected by the fires down there and to first responders in the area. Well, it gave that crowd a little extra juice, because it wasn't the people that are sitting there paying $100 per seat, so it's like $400 for your family to go. Right. It was the raucous, hey, we're just here to have a good time crowd.
Well, we mentioned it yesterday about going to a game, and everyone says, oh, it's so good when you're at home because you got your own bathroom. Yeah, that's the selfish reasons. But to go to a game, there's nothing like going to a football game. Nothing. You can't replicate the energy in the field to sit in the stands and talk to people and give high fives to strangers and something like that and be able to see a game like that. You're going to be able to tell whoever sat in that game and watched it live last night. We'll talk about it for the rest of our lives. But if you were at that game or you had your son or your daughters or your families and you sat around with just strangers, you'll be able to say you were at that game, and that's history. Yeah. You can't get that sitting in front of a television.
No, you can't. And you had two offenses and two coaches that really put together one heck of a performance for you too. I mean, it was a kind of a confluence of events. When you have a game like that and that's as exciting as it was, obviously the crowd is going to get more into it. And you watch Jared Goff and Patrick Mahomes, those two guys, they're showmen. You know, we hear Joe Tessitore come up with a nickname a few weeks ago, Showtime, for Patrick Mahomes. Those two guys, man, how fun was that to watch them duel? They were all over the field making plays.
Yeah, it was offense at a spectacle. It was elite players. It was teams that wanted it every single play. It was the type of where you wait for a team to take that emotional hit where you go, oh, you remember, you know, that give up feeling? Somebody exhaled. And then you get to see a couple runs or a couple plays. Or you start to look at a team and you look at the Rams and you go, you guys just got a game sealing interception. And what do you do? You throw two passes and stop the clock. And Sean McVay's on the sideline. And I mean, I heard it. I mean, Joe Tessitore. And then you get Jason Witten and Booger. They're like, what are you doing? Run the football. No, no, no. If you're going to be the riverboat gambler or whatever you want to be, you go down with the ship. You're the captain. We're going down fighting. We're not going down running a 4-minute offense, running dive. We're going to run play action and almost throw a pick six interception. It was incredible. And I embraced every second of that game.
You know what is amazing about that, though, is you mentioned it. Like, I don't even think it's riverboat gambling. The score is 54-51, right? Sean McVay did not want to give the ball back to Patrick Mahomes. And in order to do that, you have got to pick up a first down. Now, the argument is, well, run the ball. You have Todd Gurley. But
or call a screen. Call something that's not as... Oh, well, that throw, it just...
On second down.
My goodness. Yeah. You threw three passes. I'm sorry, you threw two and ran once, and you let them have 1 minute with a timeout.
Well, in the first
down... That was a coaching error. I don't care how you want to look at it. It was a coaching error. It was aggressive, but it was a coaching error.
In the first down, play call wasn't very good either because you had guys breaking to the sideline. Yeah. It was a great play by the wide receiver just to get down in bounds because he almost ran right out of bounds.
I could probably hear Bill Belichick going, what is he doing?
I do have one gripe from last night.
Sure.
I think the All-Star officiating crew may have read their press clippings a little bit.
Oh, All-Star?
There was a, on ESPN.com on Sunday night, I saw a headline that says, Monday Night Football to feature All-Star officiating crew.
I've never in my life uttered the word All-Star and officials in the same breath.
I think
never has that ever come to my mind.
They must have read that headline and been like, yeah, they're here to watch us. 21 penalties, 195 yards of penalties.
That was awful.
Between the two teams. And 135 of those going against the Kansas City Chiefs.
It's awful.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. A lot of them were justified, but then you have like the defensive holding. The first drive, there were two questionable penalties against Kansas City that kept drives alive for the Rams. But outside of that, you know, we have a text, Better You Today, text on 55305 saying, hey, you know, it just kind of made the game choppy. Way too many flags in it. I think that overall the product made it to the point where you stop thinking about it at the end of the game. But at the beginning, the flags did seem a little aggressive.
Yeah, I think maybe they wanted to get a hold of the game. I don't know why. But playing defense against those two offenses, it's probably the most difficult thing you could ever ask a defender to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, yeah.
There's not a person that can cover Tyreek Hill. There's not anybody that can cover him. Mm-mm. There's nobody. Nobody in football that can stop him.
You know, one thing Goff did really well, too. Well, Brandon Cooks is kind of along those lines, too. And he was banged up and injured, or his numbers would have been even higher than the eight catches.
He's good.
I mean, you're wrong.
Cooks, he's good. I mean, he's a good player. But Tyreek Hill is just elitely uncoverable.
Yes, he is. And you can't do it when your best corner's on the sidelines. And that's what's happening with the Rams, too.
No.
How about Josh Reynolds stepping in for Cooper Kupp, though? Yeah. And, you know, that slot position, he kind of looks just like
hit the ground running,
cut out of the mold of
cut
Cooper
Kupp.
Exactly. And he had 80 yards receiving and a touchdown. But the big play, how about the local guys playing a huge role in that? Johnny Hecker, after that horrible series of with a minute 10 to go where the Rams only take a 28 seconds off the clock. Hecker has a 68-yard punt to pin the Chiefs deep. And then Samson Ebukam, the guy who scored defensive touchdown late in the game.
Yep.
David Douglas High School. Portland native, went to Eastern Washington, picked the Eagles over the Portland State Vikings out of high school. He comes up with three huge plays down the stretch, including a defensive touchdown. So local guys playing a big role in that game as well. That's not even including Brandon Cooks, Steven Nelson. We had Oregon State on Oregon State Crime with Steven Nelson and Brandon Cooks as well in that game. 54-51 was the final. Is this the more enjoyable version of football? This is a new era in the NFL. Offensive driven. That is our textual relations. Did you enjoy last night more? Because the rules are set up to have more games like that, and the numbers are backing it up. Here's Buck with SportsCenter.
Let's get texty.
I left a message.
A message? What number did you call?
2-4-9-5-6-7.
I can't hear you. You're trailing off. And did I catch a niner in there? Were you calling from a walkie-talkie?
No, it was cordless.
Text us now at 55305. Message and data rates may apply.
Just while my number. Anyway, I think that was weird or desperate.
This is Textual Relations on the show that likes to be over-text. Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080.
The brain of that person to actually say that?
The Fan.
55305, the Better You Today text line. Last night, the Los Angeles Rams beat the Kansas City Chiefs in a shootout down in L.A. 54-51. Both teams scoring 50 points. That is the first time ever in the NFL's history that both teams have scored 50 points in a game. Is that surprising to you? It did not reach the highest point total ever, but it was the first time ever two teams scored 50 points.
No, if you've watched these two teams play, not at all. Not surprising at all. Now, when they did it and how they did it against each other at the time, yeah, yeah.
It's really refreshing, I think, though, that it happened because this was hyped for weeks, not just the last week. And we've seen plenty of times where, okay, one team looks great, but they end up rolling by three touchdowns. I mean, this was everything you could have wanted as far as how they build it to be.
Yeah, and I'm glad that that game wasn't played in Mexico City and that it was played in L.A. because if the field conditions became an issue, that would have been...
Well, it's not like the Coliseum you're running around on the best turf in the world either. Yeah. I mean, but it held together.
Yeah.
It did a good job.
This is the new era of the NFL, though. Everything is geared towards more scoring, more offense, getting the teams into the end zone. It was exciting. That game was one of the most enjoyable games I have seen in quite some time. Probably one of the best Monday night games I can ever remember watching. I think the one that sticks out to me the most, which is the most memorable and the most enjoyable to watch, was the Brett Favre versus the Raiders game immediately after his dad died, the day after his dad died. Mm-hmm. And that game kind of like sticks out to me as, man, that game was good and it had history on the line. But outside of that, this one, you just sat there and you could not stop watching. You thought that if you looked away there, you were going to miss a touchdown. And I thought that made the game exponentially more enjoyable to me, but not everybody feels the same because this new era of the NFL is something that people want more defense. People want stops. But I thought that you had a little bit of defense, and that's our textual relations today. 55305, the Better You Today text line. Is this a more enjoyable version of football?
So last night, I would put it and pose it like this, too. I would take it even more. I would say good or bad football, it really doesn't matter what you think, good or bad. Because this is the future. This is what it is. This is what the NFL wants. Think about where we were 2 years ago or even a year ago when we watched football and there was so much politics. It was all the things that you looked at. There was so much noise on the outside of football. This last night was about the game. It was about everything about offense. It gave you defense. It gave you stars. It gave you in the city of angels. It gave you a storyline. Believe what you want or however you want when you have tragedies or things like that in a city. And when a city comes together and you get to have, it was a perfect storm of everything. And I also want to think of it this way. If you're the NFL, if you're sitting there and you're looking at, you're going, how do we make football more exciting? How do we generate more excitement in this game? And that's why I say it will always be the king. Football will always be the king. You watch it, anybody watches it. And you could just sit there on that television last night and absorb it. Better You Today text line says, look, I'm a casual fan, and I thought that game was amazing. That's a perfect example of a casual fan got roped into why the game was so exciting. Now, there are others out there that you probably thought it was no defense. Great games are built at 21-24, 7-10. Those are the types of games that are meant, and that's how football's supposed to be. I don't care how you win. You win, the team at the end, highest score wins. Pretty simple, right? It's my John Maddenism of the day. The guy that scores the most points wins. Doesn't matter how you do it. But last night, you can't ever argue against how that game captivated an entire country. Who watched it and said, this is football for the future? And I will say, if that is what I'm going to get the rest of my days that I'm upright watching football, sign me up, because I'm in.
Last night was and this is not just a last night in a one-off, because it became the fourth time this season that a team has scored 40 points or more and lost. And that is the most in NFL history. And that is far and away the most in NFL history. And we still have got, 6 weeks left. Yeah. Of the regular season in football. This is a growing trend, and it kind of was two offenses that have defenses that are struggling, kind of coming to a head here, and it gave us a little bit of everything. This text, though, says, I miss defense. You take away the three defensive touchdowns, it's still 44-40. And I think that part right there, the front end of that, is exactly why I enjoyed the game so much, is because although the defense did give up 44-40, you still had three defensive touchdowns in that game. You had Samson Mbukum, who's the David Douglas grad. He became the first player in NFL history with a sack and multiple touchdowns. You had Aaron Donald, who showed off exactly why he is considered the best pass rusher in the NFL when he forces two fumbles getting to the quarterback, and Patrick Mahomes has two hands on the football in the pocket, and he's trying to protect the ball, and Aaron Donald still finds a way to knock the ball away. I think that's enjoyable. That's entertaining to me. They had defensive plays that were made that made the game exciting as well.
So last night, Trent Dilfer said on Twitter and took a lot of heat when he came back at this one and said, this is his quote, and this is his Twitter. It says, amazing fandom experience. Really cool game to watch. However, overall, it was bad ball, ! Reckless. Balls to the wall doesn't mean good football. Sean Payton was the happiest man in the world watching this at the NFL. Agree or disagree, it doesn't really matter. If Trent was, that's his take on this. That was incredible football to me. And I'm a guy, I'm right in his era. I'm watching that, and I saw Travis Kelce, a tight end, catch 10 balls. 10. And dropped about 3.
They had two guys with 10 catches. Tyreek had 10 also.
Incredible. And I also watched two quarterbacks duel like I've never seen before. I don't know if I've ever seen an offensive spectacle where it was just bounced back and forth, one play to the next. It was offensive juggernaut. It was design. It was playmaking, everything. And then you tell me if Aaron Donald, did anybody in the entire National Football League can block that man?
No, nobody can.
He is 6'1", 285. He might as well be, I don't know, put a cape on him because he's unblockable.
Did you see the stat on him that they flashed that he's got 13 and a half sacks this year? And he's been double-teamed on 72% of his defensive snaps.
There was a moment when I thought Booger, he about did it. He about said it, and he stopped himself. And I caught him, and I've wondered, I mean, well, we'll find the audio of it. But he goes, Aaron Donald is the great, he almost said the greatest defensive player of all time. And it was going to be the hate on Monday Night Football was going to fly because the Lawrence Taylor things come out. But right now, where he stands, I played against Reggie White at the end of his career. I don't know of another defensive player that I've ever seen in the middle be able to take over at any point in time.
And that's the impressive part about what he does is it's from the middle. Like if you're a defensive end and you're pass rush, it's a lot harder to get that double team on you because you can speed rush to the outside and try to get to the outside. Those double teams, 72%, are come from every which way. You know, it can come from the guard on either side of the center that you're getting that double team from, and Aaron Donald still beats it.
It's so true. And this text says defense still wins championships. Yep. It does. But guys, and everybody that watched, did you see last year's Super Bowl? What happened in that? Almost 1,000 yards of offense. What happened last night? Yeah. Okay, as much as we want to say that Seahawks game versus Denver, I'm sorry, in the Super Bowl, that's gone. You know why that's gone? Because the league did something last night. They made a statement. We're all in on offense. We're all in and making this league enjoyable for fans and people. Yes, it's cool to see a 10-7 game occasionally, but we want our quarterbacks, we want our running backs and our receivers, and we want you as fans to stand up and cheer to see the kind of excitement last night. Nobody wants to see that week in and week out.
We won't see it week in and week out. It was everything coming to a head. You said this is the NFL saying it. Yeah. This is a culmination of what? Probably a decade of rules changes to get to that point. And it came to a head last night. And, you know, we thought that we may see it in that New Orleans, Los Angeles Rams game. And when you read that Dilfer tweet, Sean Payton is the happiest guy out there. The crazy part about what we saw last night, 54-51, is that those aren't the best offenses in the NFL right now because the New Orleans Saints are playing at just as high or if not a higher clip on offense.
Incredible. I love it. I love every second of it. Please sign me up. I'm going to eat it. I would just like, just feed me Seymour right now.
We will feed you Seymour. Some more numbers from the game last night in your feedback. P1 Dustin with a great text. The new era of football in the NFL. Did you enjoy it more last night? Dustin Cam on the Fan. The new NFL, is it more enjoyable for you? That's our textual relations today, 55305. Last night, we saw 14 touchdowns between the two teams. The Buffalo Bills have scored 13 all season. So last night, we saw more touchdowns than the Buffalo Bills this entire season. And the 10 touchdown passes between Patrick Mahomes and Jared Goff are twice as many as Bills quarterbacks have thrown this season. We saw it.
Better You Today text line. Sorry, guys. This Rams defensive backfield is no way Super Bowl caliber. Okay.
With Aqib Talib, it might be.
What?
With Troy Hill healthy as your nickelback, it may be. They got banged up in that game, too.
They certainly did. I haven't looked at this Rams team and not said Super Bowl caliber ever. If that was the preview, give me more of that, please. If that was a Super Bowl preview, give me more of that. I don't know what do you think Super Bowl caliber is. If you could define it in a sentence, or if you think that it's because of the ability to stop players, you're just not backfields. You're just not going to be able to do it anymore. You can't do like you saw what everybody tried to do. Every release holding off the ball, crossing routes. Pick routes down they're going to allow that on offense, but on defense, you can't touch anybody.
Yeah. What's going to be
not going to allow you to do it.
What's going to be the amazing part is I know that we see what happened last night and we're going to think, oh my gosh, this is the norm, but teams have held these guys in check. I mean, the Broncos held the Rams to 23 points, right?
It was snowing. It was 32 degrees. It was freezing cold. It was brutal.
Right. Right, I get that. But the Chiefs score fewer points in their wins, 11 points less in their wins than in their losses.
It will be very impressive to see how the Chiefs finish the season because we know Kansas City is going to be brutal. It's going to be cold. It's going to be awful weather. Every time you play in L.A., it's nice. So how these how these really warm teams or dome teams play on the road late in the season in cold games and stuff like that. And if that can translate and you can carry that into good offense, because Rams went up to Seattle and it was brutal weather. And then they put up 33-30, still won. It doesn't matter. And you look at how these defenses aren't stopping enough teams. I know in their last four games, they've given up 45 to the Saints, but they've given up high points to the opposing team's offense. But they're still finding a way to win the football game.
I got bad news for you if you think that you're going to see a low scoring NFC playoffs. It's that the road to the Super Bowl will go through a dome in Los Angeles. That's where home field advantage will be. The Rams and the Saints will not be leaving their home fields, barring a catastrophic meltdown here in the final weeks of the season.
Well, they'll play each other in the NFC Championship if we get that.
Well, yeah, I know, but I'm saying if you're talking Bears, Panthers, if it's the Seahawks, Redskins, Cowboys, whomever it may be, mm-hmm. you have to go to either L.A. or New Orleans to play those games, and you're going to have great weather or a dome atmosphere. The interesting part about this is going to be, like, you do have some teams that are can slow these teams down and be more than just a speed bump on the way to the end zone. Yeah. Like the Chicago Bears are a great example of that. And I don't know what we're going to get out of the AFC, because you're looking at home field will be in Kansas City, which will be cold. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh, which will be cold. If it's in New England, it'll be cold there too. I mean, it's going to be an interesting.
That's why the Chiefs are built. I mean, they're built to make a run because they're an outdoor team that can handle it, and they have an electric offense and quarterback. So I think they can translate everywhere in the NFL. They can win in warm, cold, purple, blue, puce, whatever color they want to play in. It doesn't really matter.
That game was awesome, and if it's future football, I'm on board. Offensive slugfest, but the defense making huge game-swinging plays. It was amazing. Cut back on the penalties, though. That from P1 Dustin.
Here's another one. Better You Today text line. Seattle roughed them up twice, but you know what also Seattle did? They lost twice, guys. God, here's the – I mean, this logic of, yeah, they roughed him up. They lost. Okay, winning and losing is all you measure up. At the end of the day, when you're done with your record, nobody goes, well, we roughed him up, but you lost. And that's what that's the difference of who makes the plays at the end of the game. I could say I beat up a team, and I can go 0-16, and I could be the Browns, where I lost every game with the 10 points like last year. But you still lost. That's champions. Those are champion teams that find ways to win in close games. Doesn't matter what it looks like. That's how you win football.
And if your definition of roughing up is giving up 69 points, averaging 34.5 points per game against Seattle, then yeah, sure, they got roughed up. I mean, that's the thing.
Seattle's a good team. Very good football team, but they went up against the most elite offense, arguably, in all of football, and they scored some points, but they got beat.
I am going to be very interested to see, you know, if Aqib Talib is healthy, what this team looks like, because he has the designation to return off the injured reserve. What the Rams will look like with a healthy defensive backfield, if that helps him out, because I also see, do you think there's a little bit about this with the Rams defense? They've got, if you look at Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh, Fowler, Brockers.
Yeah.
Like, those are supposed to be some of the best pass rushers in the league, and individually they've been good in run defense.
Sure.
Is there a little bit of they've always had the autonomy to do what they want because they're so good, and everybody else kind of funnels things to them? But when they're all together, nobody's funneling anything and kind of playing keys. They're all just pin your ears back and go.
Let me break it down like this, only to maybe Oregon can understand it. When Oregon was in its heyday of the tempo, of the way they played, you as a fan knew that under Chip Kelly, Oregon was going to score at will, okay? And what did that create on defense? It created a mindset where, man, we can bend and don't break. We can make a few plays on defense. We still have elite players. You have guys that can play on defense. But you found ways to win football games because you knew as a defender, man, we can pin our ears back. We can make some crazy plays. We can give up some home runs because we know we can trust our offense to help us. That is the LA Rams. They have, if they had the Jeff Fisher era going on right now, that defense would be number one in all the NFL. Because the mindset is, guys, we can't allow any points. But Wade Phillips and Sean McVay have given those guys the freedom to go in the gaps, to make risky plays, to try to get off the ball better, to try to blitz, to try to be up in press coverage, try to be in those situations where if you make some mistakes and they score on you, it doesn't matter because Jared Goff and the rest of that crew is going to go down and score at will. So it frees you up. As much as you want to say, it is a mindset of what the LA Rams have developed. Mm-hmm. I would love to play with a defense like that, and I would love to play with an offense like that because they play complementary football with each other.
P1 Zola, one of the draws for football to me is that scoring a touchdown is still special. I fear that scoring touchdowns might go the route of the NBA bucket. So much scoring makes each score less exciting.
Not at all. Here's my final thought on this one, and we'll go into this later at 7:15. I will tell you that you may think you have great quarterbacks, and you do, okay? You have elite coaches.
Mm.
You have two hyper elite coaches. We're never going to get enough coaches that know football like they do. Okay, there are 32 teams. Right now, there's only about five or six elite coaches. Everybody else is trying to work their way through, wish they could call plays like that, or they knew what Andy Reid knows. I'm telling you, Patrick Mahomes under Jeff Fisher, just crickets.
When you said hyper elite, I think about like eight sweatsuit dads in their cars were like, that's the name of my travel team. That's my travel baseball team's new name. Called it.
Don't even get me started.
Hyper elite. That's our AAU team. Got it.
I played in the basketball. There was like 10 teams with the name elite in it.
Well,
how do you?
You said hyper elite, dude.
You can't.
You just named eight AAU teams.
Can't do it.
Congrats, bro.
Can't do it.
Congrats. 55305, the Better You Today text line. The new era of the NFL. Do you love it? Because I loved last night. All right, next hour, Civil War coaches. They're embracing the rivalry yet again. We'll have audio from Mario Cristobal and Jonathan Smith. Who are you hitching your wagon to? And an all-timer for off the rails as well. But Hot and Cool is next on The Fan.